Hi, my name is Joel Butler, Master of Wine, President of the Institute of Masters of Wine North America, and a partner in Wino LLC, a wine education center in Seattle, Washington. Check us out at www.mywino.com.
You're listening to iWine Radio. Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hi there. This is Andreas Larson.
Hi, this is John Capon.
My name is Mathur Jaffrey.
Hi, my name is Heike Platter. I'm from the Alto Adige region, or Südtirol.
Hi, my name is Paul Dolan. I am absolutely passionate about growing organic and biodynamic fruit for our wines.
Hello, my name is Lorena Garcia.
Hello, my name is Fritz Maytag.
This is Joyce Bach. I'm the author of Foodie Fight.
Hi, this is Lydia Mandavi, founder of 29 Cosmetics.
Cheers, this is Rob Barnett, CEO and founder of FinVillage.com, where wine lovers connect.
Today on Wine and Dine, we're going to learn about a brand new program that's being launched by the French Wine Society that is an educational program called Bordeaux Master Level Program. Registration is still open, and we're going to be talking to two of the master teachers for the program. The program is slated to launch on March 1st. And it will be overseen by lead instructor Dewey Markham Jr., who we've enjoyed a conversation with last year. The core curriculum will be composed of a series of 20-plus webinars. Half of them will be presented by Dewey and the other half by the lead instructors, of which are all Masters of Wine or Master Sommelier. Joining us today for the first half of Wine and Dine is Joel Butler, Master of Wine. Joel is a wine consultant, president of the Institute of Masters of Wine North America, and he does consulting in Seattle as co-owner of Wine No presently. He's also teaching programs for Wine and Spirit Education Trust on the West Coast. And he's authoring a book to be published in 2012 that we'll have to get him back to talk to us about that. But Joel, thank you so very much for joining us today. And I'm so excited to have this opportunity. I've been wanting to get you on Wine and Dine for a long time. With this upcoming program, Mastering the Wines of Bordeaux, as I understand it, you're going to be presenting Bordeaux Terroir and the Meaning of Appellation.
Lynn, it's nice to be with you. It's nice to talk with you again. You'll forgive my voice. I've had a bronchial infection for the last week. Yes, I'm working on the section or segment that is really all about the dirt, getting down to fundamentals. And so that's what we're going to be looking at in what I'm going to teach probably in middle March or something like that. Since before you can really talk about communes and towns and crew class A's, it's a pretty good idea to have an idea of what actually is on the ground. So that's my focus, is just how the Bordeaux geology, how the landscape of Bordeaux affects and influences the wines there, and how that there's a difference in many ways between what we think of as terroir in terms of a vineyard, and how it applies in Bordeaux, which is a much larger region.
Joel, as I was looking on the French Wine Society's website, and I see that there are two different prongs that someone can get involved with this, and correct me if I'm wrong based on what you know. As I understand that there is an online study program and certification program, and then there are also many cities at which this is being available in. You're involved with the online study program, right?
I'll be involved with both. The focus of this Bordeaux master class, if you will, is that everybody can share the, I suppose you could say, the in-classroom experience, because we'll have 20 different webinars, if I recall correctly,
okay,
on varying topics. And everybody will be able to follow that online. And then, as in my case and in others, those who provide French Wine Scholar programs throughout the country will be able to then offer to students a one-day, or maybe two-day, in-person review session plus tasting of the wines that are germane to what we've been talking about for the 20 weeks or 20 sessions of the program. So it gives people a more tactile, more concrete support to what they've been learning, and an ability to literally taste it in the glass, what we've been talking about.
And for that, that's an added expense to be involved with the one-day tutoring and tasting, right?
I believe so.
Correct. Yeah,
and that'll be done locally by anybody who is a certified provider for the French Wine Scholar Program.
Okay. Okay, so how many different...
So, I mean, for example, we plan to offer probably a four-hour, maybe five-hour, one-day session in, you know, early May before the examination for the session, for the whole program is offered, giving people an opportunity to talk about the questions, review some of the key material that was presented during the webinars, and then have an opportunity to taste some wine. Because that's, I think, one of the key things that makes it all come to life, as it were.
Joel, with these webinars, two live webinars a week, people have to be available at the exact time that you're conducting the webinars, right? They can't, like, it can't be something that's pre-recorded that they could go to. I mean, if somebody has a job or something that they can't, you know, listen or participate on a Monday at 12 noon or on a Wednesday at 6 p.m., then they would not be able to participate, right?
That is a good question, Lynn, and I don't really know for sure. In the past, I do know that French Wine Society, has recorded everything, and such that you can upload it later.
Okay.
That is a detail from the back end. You know, that's the logistical side, which I'm not really aware of.
You know, when I'm looking at another piece of paper here, and it says all videotaped webinars to replay on demand. So I guess that is available.
That answers your question.
Then. Yeah.
Yes,
so if somebody
will be available.
Okay. And
the bigger difference is that if you're online with it, then you can ask questions.
Yes. Yeah. If you can be live with it.
Yes.
Joel, do you know if it's going to be, did I see correctly, or maybe I misinterpreted, is this going to be limited to a certain number of people who can enroll at any given time for this program?
I think the enrollment is unlimited. I mean, after all, it's online, so I think it's just a question of enrolling.
Okay.
And being set up with your, you know, password, I assume, to log in when the webinar begins. I mean, that's the beauty of doing things online, is you have virtually the entire world could be an audience.
Okay.
And participate.
Okay, good. And for that matter, people can be anywhere in the world and participate in this.
As far as I know, that's true.
So to begin with, and it looks like people who have already registered, they download a lot of reading material. And then they review,
right.
And then they review different modules and go through a Bordeaux review quiz.
At the end of the at the end of the program, there will be a test, a quiz, exam, call it what you will. I'm not sure what they're calling it exactly, but yes.
Do you know if the exam at the end of this certification is going to include an essay, or is it like all multiple choice? Do you know that?
I don't know for sure what the final results were, to be honest. I do know it was designed to certainly be multiple choice, and I believe also a couple of short essays.
Okay.
I don't know if that has changed or not.
Okay.
And I also don't know if it was finally decided that there would be a tasting aspect involved.
Yes, I was wondering
the
about
only
that.
Honestly, Lynn, it's a very difficult thing to do because,
right,
to be absolutely fair, everyone would have to have access to the same wine. And
right.
One knows how difficult that is in the U.S., let alone anybody participating, say, in Canada or someplace else.
Yes.
So that part, you would probably have to call the French Wine Society and ask them exactly what was decided.
Okay.
Probably not. I think the idea, though, of the tasting review after a review of, you know, the course material provided online and otherwise does bring it home, and it's an added benefit for people to do that with their local French Wine Society provider, I think, because at the end of the day, all the book knowledge is nice, and it's good to know, and it certainly influences strongly your appreciation for Bordeaux wines. But without tasting them, at least in some context, I don't think you get the full experience. And so I think this is another way that we local providers can really help people out.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would imagine you're going to be using, in the tasting, classic examples, not necessarily esoteric or New World examples.
Oh, it'll be strictly classic examples from Bordeaux of appellations and areas, yeah.
Joel, we're going to go to a short break here. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Joel Butler, Master of Wine, wine consultant, president of the Institute of Masters of Wine North America. And we're talking about his participation as a teacher at the Bordeaux Master Level Program with the French Wine Society. You're listening to Wine and Dine.
Hello. My name is Amzi Ghosn. I'm a co-founder of Messiah Winery in the Beka Valley, Lebanon. You can check our website on www.messiah.com.
Serge Hirsch speaking. I want you to just note that Chateau Mizar has a website, which is www.chateaumizar.com, and continue to listen to Lynn at Wine and Dine and enjoy it all the time you can.
Hi, this is Micha Vaadia, chief winemaker of Galil Mountain Winery. For more information about our wines and area, go online at galilmountain.co.il. Hope you'll enjoy our site and keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine.
Hello, this is Victor Schoenfeld, the chief winemaker at Yarden Golan Heights Wineries in the Golan Heights in Israel. And I suggest enjoying some of our award-winning wines and keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine.
Hello, I'm William Etchison, author of Noble Rot. It's the story of a revolution in Bordeaux, and I hope you'll enjoy it over a glass of good Bordeaux. Keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine Radio.
My name is Lynn Grillo-Chamberlain, host of Wine and Dine. We're talking to Joel Butler about the Bordeaux Master Level Program that was really recently rolled out in January, but you can still get involved and register. A comprehensive study and certificate program on the wines of Bordeaux, and the website is FrenchWineSociety.org, and students will study with Roger Baumrich, Master of Wine, Joel Butler, Master of Wine, Charles Curtis, Master of Wine, David Glancy, Master Sommelier, James Tidwell, Master Sommelier, and, of course, Dewey Markham Jr., who lives in Bordeaux. Joel, I would imagine right now, and tell us, how much time do you spend on the road traveling and with consulting?
Currently, not that much. I've been more on the road doing various Master of Wine programs. We just did in San Francisco, I did a seminar tasting in conjunction with the Union de Grand Cru class to Bordeaux, which was very well received. We had 10 producers online with that. And I have a couple of trips upcoming in February for some other things like judging. Right now, my main focus has been thinking and working to develop the notes and the background and things for the book I'm working on, as well as beginning to plan the trips that I need to do for that, which is going to take up a lot of my time this year.
Are you at license to even tell us a little tiny bit, like what part of the world or what the book is about?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, we're set to go, I think.
What are you writing about?
Well, my colleague and I, by way of background, my background academically is in history. I have graduate degrees in that, and I've always loved it, particularly in classical world stuff, but also modern. And certainly with regard to my interest in wine, a lot of it developed out of my historical background. My partner on the book is a PhD in biblical studies.
Oh, wow.
Who lives in Colorado, who also likes wine, of course. And so, actually, the theme of our book is, I suppose you could call it a working title. I'm sure the publisher, when it's all said and done, will come up with something a bit more amusing, I suppose, or hooked. But for lack of a better way, we're calling it Following the Bible Wine Trail, Ancient and Modern.
Oh, my gosh!
And so it should be an exciting, it'll be a, it's not meant to be heavily academic. It's really going to be really about how wine has been perceived in the biblical world through the texts of both testaments of the Bible, how it spread, what factors were involved economically or culturally, what kind of wines people drank then. I suppose you could ask the question, or we will ask the question, what wine did Jesus drink, or what wine was Moses fond of or something, which most of which is a bit, I say that not facetiously, but some tongue-in-cheek. Yet we can find out through a lot of other information we're developing into and what we're looking at that, yeah, there's probably some likelihood we can get a pretty good sense of what people drank in those periods. But more importantly to me is that the other part of that's the ancient part, but the modern part is that in all the relevant biblical lands and biblical world, you know, extends a huge swath of the Near East and the Mediterranean world. Looking at what is currently being made in the revival and renaissance of wine in such places as Turkey and Lebanon, southern Italy, the old greater Greece, as the ancients knew it, the revival of wine styles and new wine styles in Turkey or Cyprus, let alone Israel, of course. I mean, this is really some wonderful things happening there. And that's going to be part of this book's mandate to reveal to folks. Not in a huge in-depth way. We don't have that much space to do so, but that's the basic concept, to introduce people to a good idea of what was being done in the ancient world, how people thought of it, how it was interpreted in the Bible.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask
wine,
you.
How wine and vineyards were thought of, both in the cultural, in the social, and the religious
context.
Context.
Okay. And Joel, are you going to be drawing any comparisons to the way people... I mean, I live in North Carolina, and there are many people who are afraid of alcohol, afraid of wine, and they say in the their thinking is that when they see the word wine in the Bible, it's not wine. But how could it possibly not be wine if you have grape juice in the desert? Are you going to address that sort of thing as well?
I won't probably, but my colleague probably shall.
Okay.
That's his expertise. But
okay.
I think you raise a very good point. It's something we're aware of. This book is not meant to take a religious point of view anyway, but the facts are, and the facts are based upon what is written. And also, what, as you well point out, it's honestly very hard not to have wine mean wine in the sense of a fermented beverage, simply by virtue of the fact of the conditions, the climate, and the
lack of refrigeration,
lack of technology. Yeah. Well, and the lack of technology.
Yes,
3, 4, or 5 thousand years ago.
Yeah,
I don't think that we would want to conclude without looking further into it strongly on the negative. But we do know that by virtue of what is mostly written, and simply based upon common sense and the laws of chemistry and biology, fermented beverage is most likely the outcome. of any sort of fruit.
Yes.
You know, that would have existed then. And you can talk about date wine, pomegranate wine.
Yes.
You can talk about grape wine, etc.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, I mean, better for lack of any other reason, the biology of it all is very hard to stop.
Right.
Under those conditions.
Right. Oh, I can't wait to see that book. You have to. You and your writing partner have to join me in a year when that is available for us.
Oh. Well, it probably will. Hopefully, we're looking to have it done so in time for publication, if the publisher is so set up to do so. The idea is to have it out in time for the holiday season of 2012.
Okay. So, go back and talk to us about Bordeaux terroir and the meaning of appellation. Talk to us about literally the meaning of appellation. Some people.
Well, let's start with that. I'll give you a brief synopsis.
Okay.
Appellation in France refers to a legal bordering of a particular region's vineyard lands based upon a geographical boundary, usually encompassing certain similar geological or topographic traits, generally also involving specific varieties that must be planted or can only be planted. And with regard to Bordeaux, which is a huge region, the largest fine wine region of the world, and I mean, there's a huge amount of acreage spread over a very large degree of topography, it's impossible for all of that to be similar in the strict
yes.
sense of the word. So when you talk about the Bordeaux appellation, there's a similarity in the sense that the key varieties are all prescribed by law. There's a similarity in that the majority of the geology is kind of one of two types, but with the multitude of variety in between determining individual aspects. So, for example, I mean, just to cut to the chase, Bordeaux appellation is very broad, but within the Bordeaux region, there's 60 appellations, which is a real patchwork quilt
when
you get right down to it. The big one being Bordeaux, and then you refine it down to smaller village-level areas. But all of these have their own particular traits, but they're not necessarily based upon a strict concept of what the word terroir means. That is, the particular character of a single site, that is, a single vineyard that has fairly common attributes in terms of the soil profile or the topography. It's a very different system than what's in Burgundy, where the appellation does refer to specific vineyards, much more narrow reading, and much more easy to, I suppose, quantify if you want to think of it. In Bordeaux, terroir is a rather broader concept, and it helps to define the appellation, but the appellation probably is a much more, I don't want to use the word political denomination, but it's not as specific as it is in Burgundy.
It's somewhat economical slash historical?
I'm not even sure I would take it that far.
Okay.
I think it was created by virtue of looking at what terroir reflected, that is how people saw the vineyards in the region. But it was then taken to a different level for purposes of business and or regional definition.
Joel Butler, Master of Wine, President of the Institute of Masters of Wine North America, thank you so much for joining us today as one of the instructor of the new Bordeaux Master Level Program with the French Wine Society.
My pleasure, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Stern, executive winemaker for Baron Herzog and Herzog California Wines. You can find us on the web at royalwines.com. Why don't you relax for a few minutes and enjoy a glass of Baron Herzog while listening to the Wine and Dine radio show with Lynn Freelo-Chamberlain. L'chaim.